Hello and welcome once again. This is Brother Mike at May-21-2011.com with another study in our series on the book of Revelation. We are now in Revelation chapter 8, and we will cover the last four verses of that chapter, verses 10 through 13. I'll begin by reading those verses, and then we'll go into an introduction, and then we'll take each verse one by one in some detail, and then we'll end with a summary and conclusion as usual. This will be a longer study than usual. It will be about 60 minutes long. So for those who have a hard time paying attention, as most of us do, for longer than 20 minutes, it might be wise to take this 20 minutes at a time. But I'll leave that up to you. Let me start by reading the verses. Starting in verse 10, we read, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." In this study of Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 through 13, we will look at the sounding of the third and fourth angels' trumpets that bring judgment against the corporate church. We first read, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters." And with respect to this verse, what is this great star that fell from heaven? And what are the third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters that it fell upon? Then we read, "And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter." And with respect to this verse, we wonder what wormwood is, and what it means that the third part of the waters became wormwood. And how is it that many men died of the waters? Finally, we read, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." And with respect to this verse, what does it mean that the third part of the sun, moon, and stars was smitten, so as the third part of them was darkened? And why is it said that the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise? The answers to all these questions and more will be revealed in this study. Now may the great star from heaven, Jesus Christ, who fell upon all his own churches worldwide in judgment to poison them with false gospels and teachings, and who makes all his churches worldwide darkness with no hope for eternal salvation because of their rebellion against his word, guide us into all truth. Amen. Let's look more closely at our first verse, verse 10. There we read once again, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters." In this verse, we first read, "And the third angel sounded." This third angel is one of the seven angels that had been given seven trumpets back in verse 2 of Revelation 8. And since we learned back then that these seven angels represent or symbolize the totality of the elect, while the seven trumpets symbolize the totality of God's voice or word, when our verse states that the third angel sounded its trumpet, we are being taught that the elect, symbolized by the third angel, declared the word of God, symbolized by the sounding of their trumpet. And we know that this sounding of their trumpet, or the declaring of their word of God, took place during the great tribulation of judgment against the house of God, which was from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, according to the well-proven biblical timeline of history that you can click on to see. It was at this time when the elect began to declare God's word of judgment against all the local Christian churches and congregations around the world. For judgment must begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Now, when the third angel sounded, that is, when the elect declared God's word of judgment, we read that there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. What is this great star? When we do a search on the term great star, we find that it is not found anywhere else in the Bible. But when we do a search for the word star, we discover that Christ is represented by a star. For instance, we read in Matthew 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came a wise man from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born of the king, born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding great joy." In this passage, we clearly see that a star pointed to or represented Christ himself. For we just read that the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child, that is Christ, was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. We also read in Revelation 22 that Christ is called the bright and morning star. There we read in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And he is referred to as the star of Jacob in a prophecy of Balaam, where we read in Numbers 24, verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and we know that's Christ, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. So, it is clear in Scripture that Christ is represented as a star, and that he is called a great star only here in Revelation 8, verse 10, can easily be understood because, after all, he is the great I Am, the great God Almighty himself, as we already learned in the earlier parts of the book of Revelation. But now, having learned that this great star refers to Christ, why is this great star said to be burning as it were a lamp? Well, when we realize that this lamp is a lamp of fire, because the word lamp can be translated here as torch, and fire in the Bible commonly represents judgment, then this great star, who is Christ, that is burning as a torch, is a picture of Christ coming in judgment. Now we are next told that this great star, who is Christ coming in judgment, fell upon the third part of the rivers. Rivers carry water, and water in the Bible symbolizes the Word of God or the Gospel, for we read in John 7, verse 38, He that believeth on me, that is on Christ, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And obviously the living water symbolizes the Word of God or the Gospel that could at one time bring eternal life before the many days of Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Therefore, the rivers are that which carries the Word of God or the Gospel, which can only be referring to all the local churches and congregations around the world. It is unto them that the great star, Jesus Christ, fell upon in judgment beginning on May 21, 1988, according to the biblical timeline of history. And you can click on the link to see the timeline. Additionally, we can see that this great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp that fell upon the rivers, is a picture of Christ bringing judgment upon the house of God, in that we are told that it fell upon the third part of the rivers. The third part, as we learned in our previous study, symbolizes the corporate church, or we could say all the churches and congregations around the world that are a part of the corporate church. Remember Zechariah chapter 13, where we read in verse 9, And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Clearly, the third part refers to God's people, for Yahweh said of the third part in this verse, It is my people. We also see that the third part refers to God's people in Ezekiel chapter 5, where Ezekiel is instructed to cut his hair and divide it into three parts to typify what will happen to each of the three third parts of God's people who have come under God's judgment. We read in Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take the balances to weigh and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city, when the days of the siege are fulfilled. And thou shalt take a third part, and smite about it with a knife, and a third part thou shalt scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Notice that God's people are divided into three third parts, so that we can know that all God's people can be called the third part, no matter in which of the three third parts they are found. So we can conclude, as we did in Zechariah 13, verse 9, that the third part symbolizes the people of God. And of course, the people of God in the Old Testament, Israel, were the church in the wilderness, Acts chapter 7, verse 38, until the church became only all those who claimed a relationship with Jesus Christ, who in the new dispensation became all the local Christian churches and congregations around the world. No longer could the nation of Israel be called the church, but only all the churches and congregations around the world that believed in Jesus Christ. Thus, when our verse states that there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, that is, there fell Jesus Christ from heaven to bring judgment, and he fell upon the third part of the rivers, it means that Jesus Christ fell from heaven to bring judgment, and he fell upon all the Christian churches and congregations around the world in judgment against them, which we know began on May 21, 1988, according to the biblical timeline. Yet not only are we told that Christ brought judgment against all the churches worldwide, but we are told that he brought his judgment upon the fountains of waters. What are these fountains of waters? First, it is commonly known that water in the Bible symbolizes the gospel or the word of God. Second, fountains, which can be translated as springs, are places from which the water, that is the gospel or word of God, gushes out into the world. And the places from which the gospel or word of God gush out into the world were the churches. They are the ones from which the gospel or word of God was sent out into the whole world. So when we are told that Christ brought judgment upon the fountains of waters, it is once again revealing judgment against all the churches around the world, which, as I said before, began on May 21, 1988, according to the biblical timeline of history. Okay, let's move on to verse 11. Verse 11 of Revelation 8. There we read, "And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter." Here we first discover that the name of the star, which star we already learned is a picture of Christ coming against all the churches in judgment, is called wormwood. And since wormwood is a poisonous plant of the hemlock family, we are being taught that Christ comes against all the churches as a poison to poison them. Therefore we read, "And the third part of the waters became wormwood." The third part refers to all the Christian churches and congregations around the world, as we have already learned. And so, when we read that the third part of the waters became wormwood, we are being told that all the churches and congregations around the world became poison. No longer would people come into a church to be spiritually healed of their sinful hearts. But now, ever since judgment began with the house of God on May 21, 1988, they would be coming into the church to be spiritually poisoned to death. Yahweh foretold that this poisoning of the church would take place back in Jeremiah 9, where God used the nation of Judah and Jerusalem as a picture of what would happen to the churches in the latter days. We read in Jeremiah 9, verse 13, "And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink." And again we read in Jeremiah 23, verses 14 through 20, "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing." And we know that Jerusalem in the Bible typifies or pictures the church. But we read here, "I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and has perceived and heard of his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly." Now the latter days in the Bible refers to the days near the end of the world. Thus we see that these prophecies against Jerusalem and its prophets are really against all the churches and congregations around the world during the time of the end. For what happened to Jerusalem of old with its eventual destruction by the Babylonians in 587 BC because of their sins was a picture or type of what would spiritually happen to all the Christian churches by September 7th of 1994 during the Great Tribulation, when they were all spiritually destroyed by the poison of Christ as he sent judgment against them due to their rebellion. But what was this poison that was fed all the churches and congregations around the world during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011? Why, it was false gospels and teachings which could not save. These gospels were so close to the truth that they could deceive even God's elect if that were possible. As we read in Matthew 24, verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And again we read in Mark 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." So, the wormwood that all the churches were fed was the poison of false Christs and false prophets that arose in the churches to lead them all astray into false gospels and teachings. These false Christs were not people claiming to be Christ, but they were false belief systems propagated in the name of Christ by all the false prophets which came to lead the churches away from the truth. And their gospels were so close to the truth that they could even deceive God's elect if that were possible. Many of them even came with signs and wonders in an attempt to validate that they were the true gospel. People appeared to be miraculously healed. People were slain in the spirit. People were given direct revelations from God in dreams and visions and voices and tongues, and even given prophecies. All of these things were of the false Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, Satan, but the churches were deceived in believing they were of God. As we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, even him, that is the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God actually sent them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, as a result of Christ making the churches to be poison as judgment against them, we read that many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And because the term many men in the sentence, many men died of the waters, is better translated as many of mankind, to make it clear that it was not just men who died of the waters, but women as well, we can translate it like this: and many of mankind died of the waters because they were made bitter. This is simply telling us that many people died from these poisonous waters of false gospels and teachings, for many were led into gospels that could not save. One of the greatest poisonous false gospels that came about was the one which believes that God is still giving revelation today in dreams, visions, voices, words of knowledge, prophecies, tongues, or the like. It is commonly known as the charismatic or Pentecostal movement. Even though Scripture makes it clear that God had ended his direct revelations to humankind in about 95 AD, when God first said in Revelation 22, verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." The charismatics still believe that God is giving revelation today, which puts them into the category of those who are adding to God's word. In fact, everyone who believes that they have received a direct revelation from God in a dream, vision, voice, word of knowledge, prophecy, tongue, or the like, are adding to the word of God, because such a revelation would indeed be a word from God. And being a word from God, then it is a word of God in addition to the word of God already in the Bible. And they who have received such revelations believe that they came from God are subject to the plagues that are written in God's book for having added to it, as we previously read in Revelation 22, verse 18. Yes, you can always know it is a false gospel if those who are of that gospel believe in any form of direct revelation from God, such as extra-biblical writings, dreams, visions, voices, tongues, words of knowledge, prophecies, or the like. For all these things ended in about 95 AD when the book of Revelation was completed as is taught in Revelation 22, verse 18. And there are other false gospels out there as well. Another one, for instance, common to most all the so-called Christian churches today, or I should say most of the Christian churches today, is the gospel that says that Christ died for everyone, every last human being. And now it is up to each individual to believe or make a decision for Christ or pray the sinner's prayer or come forward or be baptized or whatever it may be. They must do one or more of these things to be saved. On the other hand, the true gospel is like this. Christ only died for his people, the elect. Matthew 1 verse 21. And the best any person can do is keep crying out for mercy to Christ and wait on the Lord to be saved. But the decision is completely in the Lord's hand. He chooses whom he will save, and he has chosen his people since before the creation of the world. Therefore, his people will believe, not to become saved, but because he draws them to himself and gives them a new resurrected soul, which is out to obey Christ in everything. Of course, we know that, according to Scripture, God is no longer saving anyone ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. So all these people in the churches who think they are saved because they believed or made a decision for Christ, or whatever they did or do to deceive themselves into thinking they are saved, are not really saved. They may have chosen Christ in their minds and have been baptized, but they have never truly been born from above by the power of a new resurrected soul, which comes about only by God's decision and not the decision of a sinner. Oh yes. We read in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But the problem is that people will not truly confess the Lord Jesus, and not truly believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, unless they have first been given a new heart or resurrected soul. They might have confessed the Lord and believed with their minds alone that God raised him from the dead, but they have not believed in their hearts unless they have first been given a new heart or resurrected soul. Because only the new heart or soul can truly believe, as the old heart or soul is dead in its sins and trespasses. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And a dead thing is not capable of doing anything. So unless people have first been born from above by the power of a new heart or resurrected soul, they cannot truly believe. And there are many who have not truly believed. The churches are full of them. There is no place in the world where people are so lost than in the churches of our day. They are all synagogues of Satan. God's true people have departed out from all the churches in obedience to their Lord's command. And you can click on the link, Why Leave All Churches, to see this command. But the rest have remained, being bundled together for the fire, the spiritual fire into which they were cast on May 21, 1988, and the physical fire into which they will be cast on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day. Well, let's go to verse 12. Let's go to verse 12 of Revelation chapter 8. It reads, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." In this verse, we first read that the fourth angel sounded. As with the first, second, and third angels that had sounded, this fourth angel that sounded is a picture of the elect who declared God's word of judgment. That is, they blew their trumpet against all the Christian churches worldwide during the Great Tribulation, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And upon the elect having declared God's word of judgment against all the churches, beginning on May 21, 1988, we first read that the third part of the sun was smitten, so as the third part of it was darkened. When we look up the word sun in the Bible, we find that the sun symbolizes God, who is Christ. First, we are told right out in Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And in Malachi 4, we read in verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Notice here how the Son of Righteousness, who obviously refers to Christ, is spelled Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness, thus teaching us that the Son symbolizes Christ. And remember when Christ was transfigured? We read in Matthew 17, verse 2, "And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Then in Revelation, we find several verses that clearly identify Christ with the Son. In speaking of Christ, we read in Revelation 1:16, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength." And again, we read of Christ in Revelation 10, verse 1, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." So in all these verses, we find that we are on solid ground to see the sun, S-U-N, as symbolizing Christ. And when our verse says that the third part of the sun was smitten, so as the third part of it was darkened, we are being told that the third part of Christ was smitten, so as the third part of him was darkened. And furthermore, since we've already learned that the third part symbolizes all the Christian churches worldwide, what we are really being taught is that all the Christian churches of Christ were smitten in judgment, so as all the Christian churches of him worldwide were darkened. That is, on May 21, 1988, according to the biblical timeline that you can click on to see, God brought judgment against all the churches worldwide, resulting in the light of Christ being darkened therein, so that no one can any longer be eternally saved in or through a Christian church. Indeed, the light of the gospel has vanished in all the churches. It has become dark, as Christ removed himself from all the churches so that Satan could then take them over completely by his poisonous false gospels and teachings as judgment against them for their rebellion against the word of the Lord. But now our verse also states, "And the third part of the moon was smitten, so as the third part of it was darkened." What does the moon represent? We read in Genesis 1, verse 16, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. The greater light to rule the day, of course, refers to the sun, while the lesser light to rule the night refers to the moon. As we learned previously in our study, the sun symbolizes Christ, and in that he rules over the day symbolizes that he rules over the kingdom of light. And if the sun is a picture of Christ ruling over the kingdom of light, which it is, then the moon must be a picture of Satan who rules over the kingdom of night or darkness. Thus, we can see how the moon can symbolize Satan himself. Yet the moon can also symbolize the law of God. For just as the moon naturally reflects the sun in the night, so also does the law of God naturally reflect the sun, that is, the Son of God, in the night. That is, it reveals that all are sinners in darkness, and so are in need of the Son Christ, the light. We can further see that the moon symbolizes the law of God in a verse such as Jeremiah 31, where we read in verse 35, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars by a light by night." Notice that it is the Lord who gives the ordinances of the moon by night. The word ordinances can just as well be translated as laws. So, it is the Lord who gives the laws of the moon by night. And what are the laws of the moon by night? Why, they are the laws of God. Thus, we can begin to see how the moon can symbolize the law of God. And when our verse says that the third part of the moon was smitten, so as the third part of it was darkened, we are being told that the third part of the law of God was smitten, so as the third part of the law of God was darkened. And furthermore, since we know that the third part symbolizes all Christian churches worldwide, what we are really being taught is that all the Christian churches of God's law came under judgment. So as all Christian churches of God's law were darkened, that is on May 21, 1988, God brought judgment against all his churches worldwide, resulting in all the churches of God's law being darkened therein, so that there is no longer any light of salvation in or through any Christian church. Indeed, the light of the gospel has vanished in all the churches. It has become dark, as Christ removed himself from all the churches, so that Satan could then take them over completely by his poisonous false gospels and teachings as judgment against them for their rebellion against the word of the Lord. But next, we also read that the third part of the stars was smitten so as a third part of them was darkened. What do the stars symbolize? When we search the Bible, we read in Genesis 15, verse 4 and 5, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him," that is unto Abram, "saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." In other words, the stars of heaven are compared to the seed of Abraham. We see this also in Genesis 22, where we read in verses 15 through 18, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of the heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Notice how Abraham's seed here is compared to being as the stars of heaven. That is, the stars represent the seed of Abraham. Yet who is the seed of Abraham? We discover the answer to this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, where we read, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He says not, "And to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So we are told by this verse that the seed of Abraham is Christ. But then we also read in Galatians 3, verse 29, "And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So, Christ is the seed of Abraham, and those who belong to Christ, that is, who are all those who were saved in Christ by May 21, 2011, are Abraham's seed as well. And now we can conclude as to the meaning to the stars. The stars represent the seed of Abraham, which refers to Christ and all those who are saved in Christ Jesus, namely the elect. And when our verse says that the third part of the stars was smitten, so as the third part of them was darkened, we are being told that the third part of the elect was smitten, so as the third part of the elect was darkened. And furthermore, since we know that the third part symbolizes all Christian churches worldwide, what we are really being taught is that all the Christian churches of the elect came under judgment. So as all Christian churches of the elect were darkened. That is, on May 21, 1988, God brought judgment against all his churches worldwide, resulting in all the churches of the elect being darkened therein, so that there is no longer any light of salvation in or through any Christian church. Indeed, the light of the gospel has vanished in all the churches. It has become dark, as Christ removed himself from them so that Satan could then take them over completely by his false gospels and teachings as judgment against them for their rebellion against the word of the Lord. Well, our verse concludes with this, "And the day shall not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." The day has to do with light, as it's during the day when we see the light of the sun. And so in that the day shone not for a third part of it means that the sun, namely Christ, shone not for a third part, namely not for all the Christian churches worldwide. And if the light of Christ shone not for all the churches, it means that the day of salvation came to an end for all the churches, because there is no longer any light by which to be eternally saved in them. Oh yes, the Bible may still be being preached in the churches, but the Holy Spirit is no longer applying the Word to the hearts of the people unto salvation, for the light of salvation no longer shines. And finally, we read, "And the night likewise." That is, just as the day no longer shines for all the Christian churches, so also the night no longer shines for them either. What could this possibly mean? When we realize that the only way that the night can shine is if there is light shining in the night, such as that which reflects off the moon in the night, then we can understand that this is simply telling us that there is no longer light shining in the night for all the churches worldwide. And since the night has to do with spiritual darkness, we are being taught that there is no longer any light of the moon shining forth in the spiritual darkness of this world for the churches. And furthermore, Since we've learned that the moon symbolizes the law of God, we are being taught that the law of God is no longer shining in the spiritual darkness of this world to bring eternal salvation to all those and to all those in and through the churches. The law of God is still being read in the churches, but the Holy Spirit is no longer applying it to the hearts of people to eternally save them. Oh yes, it may appear that people are being saved in these churches, in these false gospels, in these false teachings, as Satan deceives them and makes it seem like the real thing, for he's the counterfeit Christ. He knows how to look just like Jesus Christ and to bring things about that look like it was from Jesus Christ. But people are not truly being saved, because the light of the gospel no longer shines in or through the churches around the world. Okay, our last verse that we're going to cover is verse 13 of Revelation chapter 8. And it reads, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." Here we first ask the question, who is this angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." When we look up in the Bible for an angel that speaks with a loud voice, we must first recognize that this could be an angel who speaks with a great voice as well, since the word translated as loud in the term loud voice can just as well be translated as great voice. Also, we must recognize that the word angel can be translated as messenger, so that when we look for an angel or messenger who speaks with a loud or a great voice in the book of Revelation, it is clear that this angel or messenger flying through the midst of heaven with the loud or great voice must be Christ. For instance, remember what we read in Revelation 1 verse 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great," or we could translate it, "a loud voice as of a trumpet." And then we discovered whose great or loud voice this was in verses 12 through 13, where we read, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man," that is Christ, "clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." And again, Christ is revealed to be the one who speaks with a loud or a great voice in Revelation 10, where we read in verses 1 through 3, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Clearly, this is describing Christ. "And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." And there are other verses in the book of Revelation that clearly identify an angel or messenger with a loud or great voice as being Christ, such as Revelation 5 verse 2, 7 verse 2, verse chapter 11 verse 12, chapter 16 verse 17, and I believe there are others as well. But now we notice that this angel, Christ, flying in the midst of heaven, says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth," three times. Woe, woe, woe. Since the number 3 in the Bible is often symbolic of the purpose of God, and you can click on Bible number 3 to see this, these three woes are emphasizing that it is the purpose of God to bring judgment against the inhabitants of the earth. And whereas the soundings of the first four trumpets of Revelation 8 had to do with judgment against the corporate church, the soundings of the last three trumpets will have to do with judgment upon the entire world of inhabitants. So the first four angels sounded their trumpets to bring judgment against all the Christian churches worldwide from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, for judgment must begin with the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. But the last three angels will sound their trumpets to bring judgment upon the entire world, which we know began on May 21, 2011, according to the biblical timeline of history. And we will learn more about these latter three angels in chapter 9 that we will get to in our next studies. Well, let's conclude. In this study of Revelation 8, verses 10 through 13, we looked at the sounding of the third and fourth angels' trumpets that brought judgment against the corporate church, beginning on May 21, 1988. When the third angel sounded, we learned that the great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, that fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, was Christ, who fell in judgment upon all the Christian churches worldwide from where the rivers and fountains of waters of the Word of God or Gospel came forth. Then we learned that the name of the star, that is Christ, who fell upon all the churches in judgment against them, is called wormwood, which we learned is a poisonous plant in the hemlock family. Christ was called wormwood because when he fell in judgment upon all the churches worldwide, he poisoned them with false gospels and teachings which could not save. Hence, the waters of the gospels and teachings of the churches became poison, and many of mankind died of these waters because they were made bitter in that they could not bring eternal life to anyone. One such gospel is the charismatic gospel, which adds to the Word of God. And so according to Revelation 22:18, those who hold to this false gospel are subject to the plagues written in the Bible. Another false gospel found in most of the churches of our day is the one which teaches that Christ died for everyone. And now it is up to each individual person to do something to become saved, such as believe, choose Christ, or make a decision for Christ, or pray the sinner's prayer, or be baptized, or something else. This gospel is false because Christ did not die for everyone, except his elect, and there is nothing anyone can do to become saved. The best one could do was cry out to Christ for mercy over and over again, but then it was Christ's decision as to whether he or she would be saved. Of course, it's no longer possible in our day for anyone to become saved ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Now finally, when the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun, moon, and stars was smitten so as the third part of them was darkened. And we learned that this meant that the light of Christ, the light of the law of God, and the light of the elect were all darkened in all the churches worldwide as judgment against them, so that the light of salvation came to an end in them all. No longer can anyone be eternally saved in or through a church. And this is also why we read that the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. The day, which consists of light, shone not for all the churches, that is the third part, because the light of salvation came to an end for them. And the night shone not for all the churches, because the law of God, that is the moon, which normally shined in the night unto salvation, was made dark for them, so that no one can any longer become eternally saved by the law of God. Now, with all that ominous information, thank God that Christ brought his people out of the churches, away from the judgment of God, and to God's elect, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.